Hello, Internet. I'm Ellie Chalkley.
And I'm Ross Middleton.
And welcome to ESC Insight's alternative commentary for the 2021 Eurovision Song Contest Grand Final. That's right, after a two-year wait, the moment we have all been waiting for has finally arrived. It's been a long, hard road to get here, and we are very aware that we've not been able to bring everyone together in the usual way, but we'd like to thank you for accompanying us along the way.
Tonight, we will at last crown a new winner of the Eurovision Song Contest.
As with earlier in the week, let's just take a moment to get you all up to speed on how we make this work.
You'll need to be able to pause and play this track while you watch the show. After we finish talking, there'll be a tone. That's your signal to pause the commentary track. Then, when our hosts say,
"Let the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest begin,"
at around 9 minutes into the show, that's the time to unpause and we'll launch into song one.
You can then pause and unpause at the end of each of the songs as we take you through all 26 of our finalists.
So grab your snacks, drinks, and any and all flags you may have.
And we'll see you at song one. Here comes the tone. Elena Sagrenou shares a record label with Eleni Ferreira, Tampta, Evridiki, and Evie Adamu. And that list of names tells you basically that you are here to enjoy yourself. A polished and athletic way to kick the grand final off. Cyprus are back on the winning formula of glamorous, familiar-feeling chart pop. Her incredible all-embellishment bodysuit costume is the work of Celia Cithiarotti, and her hair, that's head and shoulders. Cyprus, it's Elena Sagrenou with El Diablo.
And that was the superb Elena Sagrenou there opening the show with El Diablo. If you're playing Drink on Pyro at home, I hope you enjoyed that one. Up next in the traditional slot of death, we have Albania's Angela Peristeri with Karma, the first of this year's songs to be chosen at Festivali Kenyas way back in December. Now, discounting the cancelled 2020 contest, this is the third consecutive Albanian song to be kept in the native language, and for a third consecutive year, it's seen them progress to the grand final. Plenty of power here. Angela is, as we say in Scotland, gin at Laldi. Here we have song two, Karma, from Albania.
That was song two, Karma, by Angela Peristeri from Albania. Now, a lot of people, including some Euro fans this year, have asked me what the non-political contest rule actually means in practice. It means that the contest treats competing broadcasters and artists as separate from their governments, as long as the content on stage is not making a political statement. Eden Lane won Next Star for Eurovision in the 2020 season, and then the Israeli public selected Set Me Free from a shortlist of songs in January 21. Israel, Eden Lane, Set Me Free.
Well, she hits those high notes once again. That was Israel's Eden Lane with Set Me Free. Now, following Eden, we have another act slated to compete in the cancelled 2020 show, and it's our first band of the evening. This is Belgium's Hooverphonic with their song The Wrong Place. At times, they may have played the Too Cool for School act, but seeing Heike and Raymond's reactions to making it through to the final on Tuesday, they definitely seem to be in the right place now. The Wrong Place is a dark, moody song, and remember, don't you ever dare to wear their Johnny Cash t-shirts. Song 4, Belgium, The Wrong Place.
That was Belgium with Hooverphonic and The Wrong Place. Now, multi-talented creative powerhouse Manesia has got a lot of mainstream attention for cocking a snook at Russian government-approved conservative values and claiming her Russian identity for herself. Her feminist message of change and liberation is supported by every artistic decision she's put on stage, and she does it all with such humour and verve. In fact, check out my interview with her on the ESC Insight website for every detail of what she's put on stage. For Russia, This is Manisha with Russian Woman.
Well, that was something just a bit special, huh? Manisha absolutely nailed that, an incredibly powerful performance. And speaking of something quite special, up next we have Malta's Destiny. I'm sure by now you're all familiar with Destiny, the winner of the junior contest in 2015 and backing vocalist for Michaela, Malta's act in 2019. In Destiny, we have our first real contender for the victory tonight, and after 30 plus years of competition without a win, this could be quite the story. Second in 02 and 05, is it time for Destiny to bring the contest to Valletta? Let's see. Song 6, Shimakas.
That was Malta with Destiny and Shimakas. A well-deserved qualification for Portugal's The Black Mamba, who've brought jazz cool and a soul vocal to a Beatles-y chord progression with lush string orchestration. Even though this is Portugal's first time entirely in English, they're still continuing with that chill, we do us theme, and it's doing them so well. For Portugal, this is The Black Mamba with Love Is On My Side.
Now, given the variety we have in this year's show, it's no surprise that tonight we've ended up with some real sawtooth moments, but this is possibly one of the biggest contrasts you'll see, from the jazzy stylings of Portugal's The Black Mamba into Serbia's literal and metaphorical Hurricane. Sanja returns from 2016, Ksenia from backing her dad Knez in 2015, and they're joined by Ivana, and they do indeed create quite the hurricane. If you like your Eurovision songs with plenty of energy and hair flicks, then with Loco Loco, you're in for quite the treat. Song 8, Serbia, Loco Loco.
So, Ross, we already lost some songs. Let's go through the non-qualifiers from Semi 1. Slovenia's Anna Soklic, her big gospel ballad, Amen, that didn't quite make it through?
No, I think running so early on, and with probably other better ballads later on in the run, I don't think it ever really stood much of a chance. But I think on the night, Anna did really well, and she should be proud of the performance she gave.
Yeah. One of the big ones, Australia didn't qualify. Possibly the distance was just a little bit too far this year.
Yeah, and given all the factors she had to go up against, given that she hasn't got the resources that we see on the main stage to use at home, it's a real shame. I would really have liked to have seen Montaigne go through to the final with Technicolor. I think it would have added something to tonight's proceedings, but yeah, there you go. I suppose for Australia, it had to happen at some point.
Yeah. And of course, they should keep going down this artistic direction where they are sending interesting and alternative music, because it's just real Aussie. North Macedonia, Vassals, Here I Stand.
Another one that I actually quite like, would have quite liked to see go through into tonight. Vasil, I think, won the hearts of the Euro fans. He clearly loved performing on that stage. I think that's one of the highlights of his life. And I hope he knows just how much he's loved, because, yeah, I really enjoyed that in the end. Didn't take to it to begin with, but the overall package worked for me. And I kind of knew it wasn't going through, but I would have liked it to.
Ireland didn't manage to make it through. Did perhaps Leslie's performance get overshadowed by that complicated staging?
Yeah, it did feel like they over-egged the pudding slightly. There was just so much going on. A simpler, more pared-back effort from that, I think, would have seen it in a better place to go through. I don't think it would have been far off, but yeah, pretty good. Pretty good all round.
This was a bit of a surprise for me. Croatia didn't get through. Albina's Cyber TikTok.
Yeah, of all the bops, this was one of my favourite ones, to be honest with you, and I was a little bit sad that it didn't make it, but you know, we'll still have it in the playlists for times to come.
And the dreamy, cool Amnesia by Roxen?
Yeah, in the end, just didn't quite make the cut, I think. Didn't sit right in the running order and probably wasn't as competitive as an effort as some had thought.
Hopefully, they will have managed the staging change and we can go back straight to the songs. If not, you'll be treated to some Chantal filling. Oh, and we're already at song 9. We're motoring along. The BBC's partnership with record label BMG means that we've not only been able to get top songwriter James Newman to write as a party banger, but we've got giant props and pyro as well. However it does this weekend, James has been a great ambassador for the contest, both at the contest and with the UK media. Maybe the tide of media opinion on the contest is starting to turn. Here's hoping. For the United Kingdom, it's James Newman with Embers.
There he was, proper Yorkshire lad, living his best life there. I really hope you enjoyed his performance and the rest of the night from here on in. Now, as the trumpets are removed, the green screen will be being readied as we head on into Greece. The second of our acts tonight to have taken part in the junior contest, Stefania, actually competed for the Netherlands with the band Kisses, but tonight competes for her other home nation. She has nailed every performance of Last Dance over the past 2 weeks and thoroughly deserves to be in the final. Now, whether or not the staging really helps, I will leave that up to you at home. But we've hit double digits. It's Song 10 from Greece. It's Last Dance.
That was Stefania for Greece with Last Dance. Now, fans of this next song will tell you it's all about the craft of the songwriting and Jon's beautiful controlled falsetto. But the addition of some extremely fresh theatrical aesthetics and a little bit of Sacha Jean-Baptiste staging magic means that this is pretty much the complete artistic package. We've not been to Switzerland since 1989, and as much as we know anything, this could send us back there. For Switzerland, this is Jon's Tears with Tout l'Univers.
Well, we may well have to start saving our pennies for next year. Switzerland ain't cheap, and that performance could well find ourselves there next year. Now, speaking of saving the pennies, we have another hot favourite. It's Iceland. At this point, Daði and Gagnamadir must feel they are cursed by COVID. Having been tremendous viral successes last year with Think About Things, they were kind of overlooked in the build-up to this year's contest. The rehearsals put them back into the conversation, only for Johan to test positive for COVID-19, resulting in them withdrawing from live performance. However, the rehearsal footage used is still excellent, they're still competing, and they're still in it to win it. Now that would be a good Netflix film. Song 12, Iceland. 10 years.
How does it keep getting better? Thank you, Iceland, Daði Gagnmadnir, for 10 years. Now, there was some debate over whether the moon featured in this performance is the largest single prop at Eurovision, or if that was James's massive pyro-proof horns. Blas has taken what started out as a very slight ballad about losing his grandma to coronavirus, and he's really found something else in it that's managed to supercharge it for the Eurovision stage. Now, listen out during the initial a cappella section. Can you hear the fan inflating the moon? For Spain, this is Blas Canto with Voy a Quedarme.
And as Blas vacates the stage, that big old moon balloon is deflated. We reach the halfway point of the show. 13 songs down, 13 to go. Up next, Moldova's Natalia Gordienko, a returning artist from 2006, coming back to the contest with Sugar. This song is a product from the self-titled Dream Team, led by the ever-present Filip Kirkerov. The Dream Team has, of course, secured all of 0 Eurovision wins, and it seems unlikely that's going to change tonight, given their progression to the final was something of a shock. Time will tell if Europe needs sugar, or if they are, in fact, sweet enough already. It's Natalia from Moldova, Song 14, Sugar.
Now, that was Moldova, Natalia Gordienko with Sugar. To illustrate how he feels in comparison with all of the other competitors, Jendrik posted a picture of a little chicken surrounded by magnificent, glamorous peacocks. But that is not how it looks on stage. Jendrik and his friends are all musical theatre graduates who have put unbelievable levels of craft and work and stamina into a high-energy, high-tariff performance and a song that is an earworm that just won't quit. And there's the first tap section at Eurovision since possibly ever. For Germany, this is Jendrik with I don't feel hate.
Well, love it or hate it, you are not going to forget that in a hurry. That was the ever energetic Jendrik with I Don't Feel Hate for Germany. Now, from this year's excitable puppy, we move on to our grumpy teenagers who've had enough of their mum telling them to tidy their room. It's Finland's blind channel with Darkside. Picked from a hugely competitive UMK field this year, it's perhaps no surprise, given the Finnish sensibilities, when presented with a choice of a metal song, they voted for it in their droves. This certainly brings something to the contest we haven't seen for a number of years. Now, if Jendrik had to keep the middle finger down, then so do you, boys. This is Song 16 from Finland, and it's Darkside.
We are finding ourselves at another advert break, and that means it's time to talk about the non-qualifying songs from semi-final 2. Estonia didn't make it, with Ukusevist's lucky one.
I mean, if smouldering down the camera didn't work in 2017, it wasn't going to work in 2021, I'm afraid. Uku, nice looking lad, not much to do with the song.
Sadly, Benny Christo didn't make it through for the Czech Republic.
If this ran later in the running order, I'm sure it would have made it through. I hate anyone using the phrase too good for Eurovision, but I just don't feel like it belonged competitively. That said, still a fantastic song, still one of my favourites, and still one I'll be listening to for years to come.
And an artist who, like, I'm going to be looking out for his work because he is so nice and knows his way around a pop tune.
Yeah, lovely guy.
Austria. Now, this was a little bit of a surprise that this didn't get through.
It was. This should have been jury fodder, but I kind of think the jury votes that were going to this may have been split with Uku. Some may have gone to Portugal, and I bet it only just missed out, because they did make a really great job of this on the stage, and Vincent was always vocally absolutely superb. Unlike...
Poland. Rafał with The Ride. I mean, somebody does have to come last.
And it's probably the person that can't really sing.
But, you know, he gave it his all. It was entertaining.
Yes, it was entertaining. That's a word you could use to describe it.
But maybe Poland will return to the chance for success selection method next year. Georgia, with Tonika Kipiani's second attempt.
Another one that I think is very authentic to himself. It's his music, but it never stood a chance competitively at Eurovision. My favourite moment was him messing about in the rehearsals back in week one, and I never really got any further than that, I'm afraid.
Now, this was a big pity. Latvia, Samantha Tina, she didn't make it through with The Moon Is Rising.
No. Well, she seemed to be shooting for the moon and didn't quite get there. Every performance was that bit overstretched, that bit too much, and it just didn't come across well on screen.
She could have done with Blas Cantor's Big Moon, really. And I think, much to the sadness of the crowd in the arena, Denmark's Fjord and Flom didn't make it through.
Oh, not just the crowd in the arena, but me as well. I did a full 180 on this, hated it when it was chosen, and I think probably would have had it in my top 10 by Thursday night. I love this. I really loved it. And I thought, especially with countries like the UK and the televote, it would have made it. And I think it would have been a really good one to have on a Saturday night, but never mind.
And that's it for the advert break. Hopefully we can get you straight back to the competitive songs. Now, not being physically present in the arena means that we've not been able to get our usual close looks at the impressive quick prop changes this year. But one thing that we did find out is that there is actually a member of the stage team hidden inside Victoria's Lonely Rock. Her fairy tale instrumentation and otherworldly staging combine to take you out of the arena into a surreal and melancholy land. Enjoy the magic. And enjoy the wordplay, because yes, that title is a pun. Bulgaria, Victoria, growing up is getting old.
Such is the wide open nature of this year's contest. We've gone from one song still in with a shout at claiming victory into another. From Bulgaria's Victoria, we move on to Lithuania's The Roop. The band had the honour of being the first song back after the protracted break, opening the first semi, and what an inspired choice that was. They won through Lithuania's Pabandomishnaya with a televote score almost six times that of the rest of the finalists put together. Safe to say they are backed by their nation. And given we can't have any parties or attend in person this year, now is the time to discotheque right in your home. It is okay to dance alone. Song 18, Discotheque, Lithuania.
That was The Route for Lithuania with Discotheque. Going into the contest, we thought that Goe's mix of folk singing and techno was just going to be too challenging for the public to get behind, and that we might not even see this in the grand final. We thought this might be one of our great lost songs. We turned out to be drastically wrong, because Ukraine have created a hypnotic spectacle in celebration of spring and rebirth that also contains the first symbolic sowing of hemp seeds ever seen at Eurovision. And it goes off. It goes off. For Ukraine, this is Go A with Shum.
Yeah, as Ellie said, it's fair to say there weren't many touting Ukraine for their third contest victory, but after that, you cannot write them off. Ukraine's Go A with Shum. Next up, we have yet another artist who might be returning home with that iconic microphone in their hands. It's France's Barbara Pravi. She took a resounding victory in the French national final back in January and has been touted as a potential winner ever since. A song and performance that delicately balances power and vulnerability, resulting in one of the most memorable moments from this year's lineup. Having written the winning junior song in 2020, is Barbara on her way to doing the double for France? Only time will tell. This is Song 20. Voila.
That was Barbara Pravi with Voila for France. Now, containing sub-second samples of both her previous Eurovision song Cleopatra and the Army of Lovers as Crucified, this song is definitely winking at the audience. But whether it actually tells you anything about the Dutch historical figure, I cannot say. Mata Hari's story remains tantalisingly ambiguous to this day. Was she really a spy? Maybe. Was she an Indonesian princess? Definitely not. Was she a victim of a system that punished women for making their own choices? Probably. For Azerbaijan, this is Effendi with Mata Hari.
Just like Cleopatra. Well, you can say that again. That was Effendi from Azerbaijan. Now we head into Norway and they're at Tix. I wonder what could have possibly led the producers to putting these songs one after the other. Well, whatever it is, we're now going to see Fallen Angel. It won through an incredibly stacked Melody Grand Prix lineup, in the end comfortably winning the Norwegian televote. Tix wants to tell his story through the stage performance, highlighting his battles with Tourette's and struggles with mental health. Well, now he's made it to the big stage, this is the perfect opportunity. Up next is Fallen Angel from Norway, Song 22.
That was song number 22 and Tix with Fallen Angel from Norway. Jean-Guy McCroy is bringing a celebration of Surinamese culture and the language Surinam Tongo to the contest. This hugely important and joyful song takes you from a story of colonial oppression and repression all the way through to the beauty of freedom and pride. In the costuming, Jean-Guy says he wanted to represent that he's a descendant of the four different cultures of Suriname: Creole, Maroon, Chinese, and Native American. And you can see that in the detailing of the costumes. For the Netherlands, this is Jean-Guy McCroy with Birth of a New Age.
Now that was just an utterly beautiful, joyful performance. Results and points matter not a jot for this. Jean-Guy has shared his message in the most stunning way. The home nation should be very proud indeed. Now, speaking of a performance a nation can be proud of, next up we have Italy's Måneskin with their song Zitti e Buoni. They took a somewhat unexpected victory in the Italian musical marathon that is Sanremo and accepted the subsequent invitation to Eurovision. This is a dirty, angry, rebellious glam rock song that will liven up the Eurovision stage no end. If you're still playing Drink on Pyro, then bottles at the ready. This is a biggie. One of the bookies' favourites, it's Italy with Zitti e Buoni.
That was Italy with Måneskin and Zitti e Buoni. On to Sweden. Idol winner Tusse managed the incredible feat of winning every single age category in the Melfest final televote. And that is some measure of his incredible charisma and just how much Sweden has taken him to their hearts. Now, interestingly, this song shares some of the songwriting team with San Marino's. the Eurovision stalwart powerhouses Joy and Linnea Deb and Jimmy Joker Thornfelt. For Sweden, this is Tusa with Voices.
And as Sweden's Tusa makes its way from the stage, we've made it to our final competing act of the show. And what a closer this is going to be. Returning from her non-qualification 10 years ago, Senhit has given San Marino only their third grand final appearance in their history, and almost certainly the one most talked about. He's here. Flo Rida is ready to take to the Eurovision stage, but let that not detract from the fact in a year of bops, San Marino have actually produced the very best one in this year's competition. Our freaky queen is about to represent the microstate most serene. This is our final song, Senhit. Flo Rida, San Marino, Adrenalina.
And as Senhit and Flo Rida bring the house down and start the green room party, I've got one question, Ross. Who's going to win this?
Well, I'm going to say Iceland.
I don't know. I'm refraining from making predictions because...
Oh, thanks. You set me up really nicely for that one. Thanks, mate.
I mean, you can always take the fifth. Take the fifth. No, we're not in America, but you can still do that.
No, I'm going to stick to... I think Iceland. I think the story's compelling. I think the song is excellent. I think the performance is outstanding. And I think it will just scrape through. I've got a feeling it's going to win neither jury nor televote. But I think it will win overall. So
a sort of third thing with Switzerland winning the juries, Ukraine winning the televote.
Tell you what, I'm going to go one further. France win the jury, Italy win the televote, Iceland wins the whole thing. Let's see how badly I've got that wrong.
And on the Sunday morning after podcast, I promise I won't hold you to account for these predictions.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
We'll just have to thank all of the lovely listeners for joining us and choosing us for to be their commentary team. It's great to have you all on board, and we hope you enjoy having some Eurovision again.
Yeah, this is where we're going to leave you. You've got some great interval acts. You've got six former Eurovision winners taken to the roof. Then you've got voting. There's old participants from Georgia, from Azerbaijan, Sweden, Ukraine, Ireland, and even a special appearance from someone from a certain Netflix film.
And with that, I'll say goodbye, Ross.
Goodbye, Ellie.
Now bring on the guitars.